All right. Welcome to the next episode of The Techie and the Cowboy. You may notice something different here.
like what, I'll say?
That we're not actually via Zoom, because I'm actually in Georgia.
Yay.
Now, what am I in Georgia for? I mean the shirts don't give it away.
No, of course not. Last night was a major milestone in my creative career. We actually showed the video as a premiere. It's what they call a sizzle reel, or proof of concept. Unlike a trailer has parts on the beginning, the middle, and the end, and it's the best of kind of thing. A sizzle reel, it takes one continuous part of a script, which you consider to be the best part of the script, and you show it to get interested parties saying, oh, you know, I think I kind of like that story. Let me see the entire script. And if they like the entire script, then they'll talk to you in terms of business. So that's the game plan. That's what we're hoping to do.
Awesome. And we'll put the link where it is that you can actually go watch the sizzle reel, because we're going to be talking about it. So that way you'll have some context about what it is that we talk about it, throughout this whole entire episode. With that being said, let's go ahead and roll that intro clip, and then we'll get into more about the sizzle reel.
Okay.
And now, a few minutes with two of my friends, who will soon be yours, the Techie and the Cowboy.
All right, so TW, explain the difference, because this is something that I had to educate myself on. You said you had to educate yourself on as well, the difference between a sizzle reel, a pilot, and then the actual TV show once it's produced.
Okay. As you know, I started off as a creative writer, writing poetry, and then I went to short stories, which is my sweet spot, and then I extended that into writing novels. And I thought that was basically the end of your creative limitations. Then their local college that I had gone to take some writing classes started up a curricula in screenwriting. I thought, yeah. And at that time, people my age, the classes were free. I went over there, got involved, like, oh, hey, this is cool. They had four classes, two in what they call feature, which are the movies. Mm-hmm. So introduction and advance, and the same for TV, intro and advance. And so there's a difference in how the scripts are written because of the length of the production.
Got it.
So it's one of those things that every minute of filming costs money.
Right.
So you have to be very efficient in what you do. A TV show is episodic. You start off with episode one and you go through usually 8 to 10 episodes a season, then you go into the next season, and it can either be a continuous arc or it can be a new story using the same characters. So a TV pilot is when you do not have commitments from the studios, from the money people, on doing the entire series. So you film the first one and use it and say, here's what we've done, are you interested in making a series out of this? And so you go around and you find the investors and in the studios and the producers and that kind of thing. A sizzle reel is the shorter version of that, because as time goes by, we find that everybody in all ranks of life have shorter and shorter and shorter attention spans.
Yeah.
So you can't get an executive to sit down and watch a 60-minute TV pilot.
Right.
So what they want to say is, give me a few minutes, let me get the gist of it. If I like it, I mean, if it just hits me, boom, we're there. And so that's what the sizzle reel, sizzle being, we're going to grab you by giving you the best and most exciting stuff in what we have written. And so you do the short version. What we saw last night, including the credits, was 14 minutes long. If you took out the credits, it was 12 minutes worth of video.
Right. Okay, so that's awesome, because a lot of people, whenever it is they watch it, they're like, Well, I want to know more. Where's the rest? And you mentioned at the live event that was intentional. That you purposely wanted to end it, making the people want to see more.
Yes. Yeah. In all the stuff that I have written, what my intention is, it's what they call the willing suspension of disbelief. Mm. You're into the story, kind of like you forget about the real world. You're into the story. You kind of really lean into it. And it's, what I want to do is to reach out, figuratively speaking, grab you by the guts, pull you through the story, and then let go. Mm. And so with this, we got it up to a point where you're going, I'm into it. What? Where's the rest of the story? During the Q&A last night, the young man that was there, the son of one of my best friends, said, well, where can I go on TV or online and watch the rest of this movie? So, William.
He actually said, what TV channel is this going to be on? Which I thought was cute. Right? He said, what TV? He had two questions. He actually had a whole bunch. I cut him off. But he had two questions. What TV channel can I go watch this on? And the second one was, when do we get to see the rest of it? Like, what's the timeline here? He wanted to know. He was excited about it.
Yes.
But to see that there was all age ranges at the premiere, from, you know, this young kid all the way up to, you know, people that were in their older years. I don't know how to politically correctly say that, right? Seasoned people, very experienced people in life.
You mean people my age?
I don't want to go there. But very, very experienced people in life. But everybody, I got to stand at the back, so I got to watch the whole entire audience, and everybody was in it, and that was impressive for me, because we're involved in the movie, so we got vested interest. So of course, you know, we see it, but there's something about watching other people watch that was very exciting to me, because everybody was in it.
Well, it wasn't really a theater. It was just an activity room that we used that was in the basement of the big church that I go to. And they had twin screens and a big AV center in the back. It went pretty well. Speakers on the ceiling. It was okay. It wasn't theater quality, but it was good enough. But the people from the church, most of the people from the church knew me from activities, from being in the Sunday school classes, right. That kind of thing. And they have, piece by piece, followed my journey as I've been doing these various things. There's a bookstore in the church, and the novel upon which this was based is for sale there, as well as the booklets that we give away at the rodeo events and that kind of stuff. And there's even a retirement home version, big print of the same thing, so it's easier to read. So they have been interested to see, and then they've heard me talk about it and know that I was doing this thing, followed me through all the classes that I had at the local university in screenwriting, and then to come and see this be done, they just think, wow. I mean, really, it's kind of, this guy doesn't quit. He just inches forward and inches forward and inches forward until, and that's going to be the same thing with getting this made into a pilot, then hopefully selling the pilot to somebody. The good news is there's so many distribution channels, and all of them want content.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's
a lot different than whenever you were just trying to sell it to a theater or just trying to sell it to a TV station to be able to broadcast it. Now you have all the streaming platforms, you have the online platforms, you have all these different ways to be able to get
well, as you can tell from the title of our podcast, Techie and the Cowboy, this is a cowboy story. It's a Christian cowboy story. And it was very purposefully done, and the timing just worked out well. The nice thing about it is we got to film it. It took 3 days of filming. One day of rehearsal, not practice.
Not practice. Not John practice. I corrected you. So yes. I call practice.
Yeah. One day of rehearsal and 2 days of shooting. But we did that while the WGA was on strike.
Mm.
So we were able to get cast and crew, because they were available. They had literally nothing else to do.
Right.
And now that the strike is over and things are gearing up, we'll tend to lose those guys. So we got it in the sweet spot. But the other thing is that Westerns, cowboy stuff, has been on an upsurge in the last several years. And so,
yeah, thanks to like Yellowstone and all the different shows that are becoming really popular. Yeah,
we're benefiting from that. One of the things that I said last night, to answer a question that, from somebody about how, what was the biggest thing you as a writer had to do watching this being made. I told him about when I was first ordained as a cowboy chaplain, that the chaplain that was assigned to be my mentor had told me as I was going through the training process, he said, I want you to know, I said, everybody loves cowboys, period. Particularly for people my age, because we grew up, it was on TV, Roy Rogers, Matt Dillon, John Wayne was in the theaters. So we were used to cowboys, good guys, bad guys, you know, that kind of stuff. But then he said something more important after he had seen some of my writing. He said, but even more important is that everybody loves to talk about cowboys, cowboy stories, that kind of stuff. And it's true. We'll talk about, you know, all the old films, old John Wayne, you know, all that kind of stuff. But he said, if you can get a man to talking, I can hear how to minister to him. So you do your job, I'll do mine.
And it's funny, it's not just here. Whenever I got to spend some time over in Finland, they love the idea of the cowboy. As a matter of fact, they thought all Texans were based off of the TV show Dallas. And so I was supposed to walk in there like JR. They were highly disappointed whenever I didn't have a pair of boots and a cowboy hat and I didn't have the belt buckle. And, and they some of them even told me I wasn't a real Texan. I looked more like a Canadian than a Texan because I didn't have the full attire. Right. So worldwide, people are in love with cowboys. Now, you mentioned the Dusty, who's the main character. And so talk about the book series that this was based off of, because I love the how you explained last night how it was a trilogy by design. Well, not actually at the very beginning, but then it evolved into a trilogy, right?
Well, until your mom corrected me earlier this morning, I would have said it was an accident.
Right, right.
To which your mom would have corrected me and said, it was not an accident. You were just not aware of God's plan
yet. That was powerful what she said.
Yes, right. So, yes, accepting that to be true. What had happened was I had written a number of short stories and decided that I wanted to go ahead and publish them as an anthology. And I had 11 of the really good ones. And I said, well, the other stories are coming. I said, I need a 12th one, but it doesn't have to be too long. It's just so that you can have an even number there. So I sat down and I wrote the first draft of a story. It was called Dusty. It was very short. Put it in there, got the book published, put it, you know, got out to readers and stuff. And the feedback I got was, we really love the story about the cowboy and his horse. Where's the rest of it? To which I couldn't very well say, there is no rest of it. That's it.
Just kind of like, oh. It was a filler story.
Yeah, I just knocked it off. So I said, okay, well, So I wrote what effectively was the next chapter. Once I got started with that, then I was got involved with the cowboy church. And I finished 5 chapters and we published the first book of the Dusty and the Cowboy series. Importantly, Dusty is the name of the horse. The Cowboy, he's only known as the Cowboy. Or Cowboy throughout most of the novel. But my mentor said, here's what you do. He said, keep the chapters, or the short stories if you read them as a short story. He said, keep them short, use simple words, keep the book thin, because we don't want to intimidate these guys at the cowboy church. He said, at best, most of them are high school graduates, and they weren't valedictorians. So I said, okay, I can do that. But then as I talked about last night at this church where we showed it, the founding senior pastor gave a sermon one Sunday, and he said that every Christian has 3 stories. First story is life before knowing Jesus. The second story is committing to Jesus as a believer and dedicating your life to Jesus. And the third story is life after making that commitment. And I sat there and said, this has to be a trilogy. I've got one book. I need to write 2 more. And so that's the way, and I realized as I was sitting there listening and thinking about it, I thought that that part about before knowing Jesus, the story of the first book is this guy who is struggling as to whether he believes or not.
Mm.
And so I said, okay, then in the second one, you know, he's going to make the commitment. And he does. He actually meets Jesus in a dream. So it's, you know, it's believable. And then in the third story, he accomplishes his mission and then goes back home.
That's awesome. So that's awesome. But it was a great night last night. And thanks to everybody who came out to be able to support. Thanks to the staff. You see my little prop here. We got horseshoes. This is part of the horseshoe ministry that TW is a part of. But we actually got horseshoes with our names on it, which was pretty cool as well.
And
oh, don't forget the John 3:16 verses at the top of it too. So.
Well, actually, the horseshoe ministry. This is I think it's important for people to know. It just so happens that you can get recycled horseshoes for real cheap around here because you can see these are worn, and at a certain point, the horse owners don't want bad shoes on their horses, so they'll take them off and put on new shoes, and so we get these. The thing about a horseshoe is, for all practical purposes, it's indestructible.
Hmm.
Okay? So it'll last forever. The other thing is, they're pretty big. If you gave somebody a pamphlet or a sheet of paper or something like that, put it on a desk, cover it up with other papers, you wouldn't know it there. You cover this with that, and somebody will say, "What's that underneath there?" And they'll pull this out, and they say, "Grandpa, why do you have a horseshoe with your name on it?" And the gospel conversation
starts.
Begins again.
I love it. Love it.
So what we do is, while my partner Skeeter is stamping these out, because he's better at stamping than I am, I will engage the person who wants this in a gospel conversation.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it. Well, thank you for my horseshoe. I appreciate that.
Actually, there's a guy at our church named Darren. He's an older guy. I think he's passed now, but he was one of the first horseshoes that I made was for him. And I saw him after he'd been away from church for a while, and I said, "Hey, Darren," I said, "you still have that horseshoe?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "I keep it on the night table right next to my bed." And I said, "You know, does a body good to hear that, you know, you treasure it that much that you would do that?" He said, "Well, truth is, my wife took away all my pistols, so anybody comes in, I'm going to beat them."
I said, "Well, that's multi-purpose."
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say, that was not quite the intention that we gave it to you, but if it gives you comfort, go for it.
Well, thanks again for my horseshoe. I appreciate that. You know, only I've been hearing about his horseshoe ministry for 6 years now. So
okay.
I guess I had to come all the way to Georgia in order to get mine. But I appreciate it, though. We got to give each other grief. That's what we do, right? But yes, again, thanks to all the people who it is that came out. I'm happy that you allowed me to be a part of this process. It's been awesome being able to be the tech support on the back end of the project, so I can say it. I mean, I even got my name on the credits.
Yes,
so
you're going to get an IMDb credit.
Hey, I'm going to start my IMDb now because I actually have credits on it.
Well, I got to learn how to post it up there so they'll accept it.
There you go. That's it. So we're going to, again, put the link in the comments. But most importantly, we're also going to put a link where it is that you can actually leave your feedback. That helps both the actors that are in there, the writer, and just as it is that this thing progresses, it'll help them to be able to make better content because we love to hear from the people. Same thing with the podcast. Please comment, send us your feedback. You know, we've been doing this for 4 years now. Gosh, I can't even believe it's been that long. And our favorite thing is to be able to hear from the people who it is that are watching the podcast. It gives us ideas on what content, what episodes. Most of the stuff is stuff that we run into in our everyday lives. That's how this podcast started. It was just like, we're having great conversations. Maybe somebody can get something from this. So we started recording it. We started an audio format first, and now we moved to video this year.
Of course, podcasting is so popular now, but a couple of years ago when I would be meeting at church. We have Wednesday night dinners there. And all the guys sit at one table and all the wives sit at another table. And we were talking and I had something with me. And they said, "What's that?" I said, "Oh, it's some research I have to do before I record the next podcast." I said, "What do you mean record a podcast?" And I said, "Well, my friend in Dallas and I, we do podcast once a month or so. And they went, "You're a podcaster?" Yes, it doesn't take all that much, but
it's funny because at the premiere, I had a lady that came up. She's like, "Your voice is so familiar." She said, "Have we met before or whatever else?" And I didn't put the association together. I was like, "No." I was like, "She's like, how do you know TW?" And I was like, "Well, you know, he's my prayer partner, and I'm here to support. But he's also my podcast co-host." She's like, "That's where I know your voice from. It's from the podcast." Who I guess I have a unique. I don't remember who the lady was. I don't even remember if I got her name. She was just like, she heard me talking, and she came over specifically because she's like, "You have a very unique voice," which I don't think. I think my voice is very common. She's like, "You have a very unique voice, and I've heard it somewhere before." She's like, she was asking, "Are you on the radio or are you on TV?" I was like, "No, not on that." And then when it came down to it, she actually listened to the podcast and she recognized it from the podcast. So I'm assuming that she must have listened to audio versions in the past, because she would have recognized me if she had watched this season's video version. So you just never know. Yeah. Just never know.
Yeah, with the video, she would have recognized.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, thank you guys as our followers for following the podcast. Please share, like, and subscribe as well, and then watch the movie and give us your feedback. TW, congratulations, brother.
Thank you, sir.
It's good to be here in Georgia. I'll be headed back to Texas soon.
Wait. You got to tell them the boot story.
The boot story.
Walking down the hall.
Oh, my goodness. So one of the things that TW said whenever it is we're going to premiere is, he's like, "I want you to be in as much of a cowboy attire." So we got the hat. We have the boots. And so he has wooden floors here. So as I'm walking down the hallway, I noticed the sound, and then you get into character. So I had to slow my walk.
His cold attitude changed. he became Matt Dillon walking into the saloon looking for the bad guy.
As a techie, I embraced my inner cowboy. And it was funny, whenever you told that story from stage, people were like, "So explain how it is you're from Texas and this is you're not used to walking in boots," because he had me walking around doing the mic running. At one point, I was like, "Look, I'm not used to boots," and everybody laughed. After it was over, people were like, "Wait a minute, you're from Texas, and you're not used to walking in boots?"
I worked for a $6 billion construction company headquartered in Tokyo. We had our own local Southeast America version of that, and I did an assignment out in LA for about 11 months. When I first went out there and met all the engineers and stuff, and they, you know, they talked about, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from Texas." And every one of the Japanese guys
looked down to see if you had boots on.
You know, have boots.
So I officially got to don the hat and the boots last night, and the walk down the hallway to hear the. And his hallway has an echo too, so it was really. If I felt like I was in a movie, we should have filmed it.
Yeah. So the next short story I'm going to write is how to teach your friend to be Texan.
And the sequel to that would be the techie becomes a cowboy. I love it. All right, guys. Thanks for watching. My name is Alistair Hunt, and I'm the techie.
And I'm T.W. Lawrence. They call me the cowboy.
Live from Georgia. We'll see you in the next episode. Let's roll that outro.
That's it for this episode. Join us again next time for The Techie and the Cowboy. Hit us up on our website, thetechieandthecowboy.com. Let us know what y'all think.